Hi, thank you very much. Ruth, grateful recovered alcoholic and compulsive overeater, overspender. Thank you so much for being here. This meeting was such an important part of my initial recovery in OA, and it's so wonderful to see some familiar faces as well as new people. Thank you for asking me to share, Judy. It's always an honor and privilege to be of service and to share my experience, strength, and hope. You know, it's been like peeling the layers of the onion. My higher power, and you'll hear me call him God, has a sense of humor and decided that he was going to start me off in recovery with something obviously bad, like alcohol, really get my attention. And I was very fortunate in that I hadn't had a lot of the consequences that so many people had, the accidents and the jail time and loss of home and family and on and on and on. So I kept looking for differences instead of similarities. So it took a little while for me to get sober. And then it took me a while to really get the message that I needed to hear. So I relapsed after a year in recovery. And that was because I took my will back, my self-reliance, pride, ego. I tend to be a little rebellious. I tend to think that rules don't apply to me. Not proud of that. And since when or how I got that message, I have no idea. Probably simply my pride and ego. But that was how I functioned growing up. I'm the oldest of four. My dad and my mom were alcoholics, not so much when I was growing up, but as they aged, it got worse and worse. And after they divorced when I was 10, that's when they really started drinking. Happy hour every day, blah, blah, blah. I learned how to drink and eat with my family. And my dad loved being bartender and just plying us with alcohol. We use food for everything as a reward, as a way to celebrate. Emotional eating, when I was sad, I would turn to the food. I saw it not as a problem at all, but as a solution. And I was so out of touch with feelings or emotions or anything along those lines. It wasn't safe to have feelings. You couldn't have feelings. And I love the immediate effects of alcohol. Food seemed to be much slower. So when I wanted the immediate benefit, calling it a benefit loosely, I would use alcohol. So as time went on, I became an overachiever, workaholic, became very important for me at the outside stuff because I didn't know who I was about anything. I didn't really have any emotional stability, if you will. I had depression, anxiety, a lot of the things so many of us suffer with. Home was very dysfunctional. When my parents got divorced, we went with my mom and her boyfriend. Apparently, she was having an affair with a friend in the community. And, you know, it just sort of went on for a little while with a semi-family unit at that time. And then we all sort of dispersed when I got into college. My brother at 14 went to my dad's, who was a raging alcoholic. My little sister with my mother, who decided it was time to party hardy, picking up guys and having a grand old time. And then my sister Muff, who was 11 months younger, and she tried going on to school, had a nervous breakdown, and her story, you know, goes from there. So I looked for outside things to fill the hole, whatever it was, because I couldn't deal with emotions. With being uncomfortable. Heaven forbid I was uncomfortable. My weight yo-yoed. And I learned the code words for fat. She's pleasingly plump. She's just a little chubby. She'll grow into it. Yeah, my dad called me Bubbles, which I was very offended, but had no idea why exactly. So I didn't have a very good body image. And
5 minute Chris Pat.
thank you, Judy. And the dysmorphia started at a very young age. So I didn't grow to 5'5" until I was like 13. And I discovered over exercising as a way of controlling my weight, especially when I was eating a lot of carbs, a lot of sugar, sugar also being alcohol. And I tried job hopping, geographic cures, but everywhere I went, I took my compulsive overeating and I took my alcoholism and overspending, and they all just sort of followed me wherever I went. Started in Vermont, went down to Florida, Alabama, Tennessee. Oh, I did go to Michigan for a couple of years too. It was never the answer. I've been married four times. The first three marriages, those three guys weren't bad men. They weren't alcoholics. I was the common denominator and I blamed them for my problems. So I never grew up, never took responsibility, wasn't accountable. Then in 1998, I was able to get sober. I went to a rehab down in Atlanta because I didn't want anyone in Nashville to know I was an alcoholic, heaven forbid. Thought I would be cured after the weekend, came back 6 weeks later, lasted a year in AA and relapsed. And called my sponsor after that bottle of wine. And she told me, gave me guidance for which I'm forever grateful. Call me before you drink next time. And I followed that. So I've been sober now since February 14th, 1999. But as I got older, the food was becoming more of a problem. And I still overexercised, but I didn't really get it. I knew in meetings where there were cookies galore that once I started on sugar, I couldn't stop. Literally could not stop. It wasn't one box of Girl Scout cookies, it was six or seven. And then I wondered why I was sick as a dog. I just couldn't handle the food. And I tried using AA on the food, but I had no clue what I was doing. I just didn't know what I was doing. It's just food. I should be able to handle this. So it took what it took, and I wound up having a labral tear in my hip because of overexercising. And for 2 years, I couldn't exercise. And I got up to almost 200 pounds, which horrified me. I totally disconnected my head from the rest of my body. I ignored the big voluminous shirts that I was wearing. As my sizes kept increasing, and it was harder to roll over in bed, harder to get up from the floor. Just my mobility. I was having plantar fasciitis, pre-diabetic, all kinds of physical ailments that I'd never experienced in my life. And emotionally, I was destitute, sober, but I'd been ignoring this disease of compulsive overeating. I couldn't get away with that. It was coming to bite me in the butt, and I had to pay attention. I got to that point of desperation, and that was around COVID. And luckily, online, I got a sponsor, and I didn't really give 100%. Again, the rules didn't apply to me. I was special. I could figure out my own way. I wouldn't do a meal plan. I worked on a workbook, sort of half-baked, and I didn't get abstinent. And I tried all the diets and all that stuff. That goes without saying. Spent hundreds of dollars, never worked. I thought I was a sinner because self-will, willpower, self-knowledge wouldn't do it. And I tried psych, I tried philosophy, I tried self-help books. Nothing helped, either with the alcohol and now with the food. It wasn't helping either. Finally, I got a sponsor online. Thank God Zoom came along. And she held me accountable. So if I ate something that was an alcoholic food, because I had to use alcoholic foods, red, green, and yellow just didn't mean anything to me. But alcoholic foods did. And so I had to get really honest. And I kept being dishonest and manipulating. You know, if I eat for my husband's plate, it doesn't count. But then I had to tell her, and
10
she
minute
told me,
truth.
thank you. She would hold me accountable. And again, that's what I needed. And then the third time, again, driving in the car, eating my husband's food. I thought it was a minor thing, a little slip. No, she held me accountable. And I'm forever grateful to that sponsor because that's the only way I truly got the message about honesty and then open-mindedness and willingness. And the rules do apply to me if I want to get abstinent. And with OA, something else happened that was miraculous. All of a sudden, the chapter We Agnostics opened up the realm of the spirit for me. I didn't read that chapter before, or I used to skim it. I believe in God, I don't need that chapter. And then lo and behold, I started reading, and it was saying things like, we found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudices and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results, even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power which is God. I didn't realize I had prejudices, a lot of them. Against religious people, against religious writings, against certain groups, against the idea of totally turning my will and my life over to care of God. I sort of had God in a little box, break glass in case there's the apocalypse, and then I would call on God. But something changed. And I realized I had to lay aside these prejudices. And if you read We Agnostics, lay aside prejudice, the word prejudice, and having to have some sort of spiritual experience, a God of our understanding, a higher power. I had to ask myself the question, do I now believe or am I even willing to believe that there is a power greater than myself? Or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It's been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. And I had to do the work. So I had to get myself into action and work the steps, read the OA literature, and also the big book with food in mind. Because food isn't my problem. I thought food was my solution. Now I know God is my solution, but I have to take action. This isn't a passive program. I'm not going to get it through osmosis. I have to do the work, which means working with my sponsor, showing up at meetings, doing 10, 11, and 12 every single day. Early on in sobriety, 10 and 11 was sort of confused. People kept saying they were doing a 10-step nightly review instead of a spot check inventory and kind of skimming over the top of the page in the big book where it describes the nightly review as part of the 11th step. It's not just prayer and meditation. 10th step tells us to continuously be looking out for resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, and fear, and correct it when we've done wrong. Talk to another fellow in the program, talk to our sponsors, make an amends. It's that house cleaning all day long. And then the nightly review helps me to kind of get the big picture. And then the other big part, besides not picking up my alcoholic foods or alcohol or alcoholic behaviors like overspending, controlling, manipulating, all of those things. I had to be of service. But service is a tool. It's not an anchor. It's not supposed to weight me down where I feel stuck. It loses something when it becomes the anchor. Service is supposed to be willing to give to our fellows, to give of ourselves. and we have to find a balance. And that's what I struggled with. I overdid it with service for a long time, and I had to learn some important lessons, to find that balance. Because if I'm so bogged down with a rigid schedule where it's become a chore instead of a joy,
5 minutes left.
thank you, Judy. Where it's a way to connect with others and with God of my understanding, where I lose sight of whatever experience, strength, and hope I have to give, and I'm just turning into this controlling, manipulating person, it's a warning sign. It's a warning sign. So I have learned some very important lessons in recovery. And I continue to want to learn. And that's the miracle of this program and other programs, because more is revealed. I've become a member of, excuse me, Al-Anon, because of my parents, because my sister was a drug addict, because the ripple effect of the family disease that goes back to my grandparents, my great grandparents. That effect is generational. And luckily, as far as I know, it's missed the next generation up to this point. My sister died from pancreatic cancer a year ago, last April. And it was very sad because we never reconciled. We had a grudge or a disconnection that lasted decades over things that happened when we were in our diseases. And much to my sadness, she never wanted to establish a relationship. I had hoped recovery would be a bridge. But sometimes I have to learn that all I can do is to be aware, to accept, and to take action if it's possible. And I had to leave it alone and accept it was her choice. It was the last few months of her life. I couldn't force anything, and that had to be okay. It was her journey. So I'm still trying to be teachable, which is so important in recovery. Because if I put my blinders on and I'm coasting through my day, I'm in big trouble. If I distance myself, which I did for a little while from OA, because I got distracted. I also attend Catholics in recovery, which obviously is Catholic oriented. But it combines recovery, and it has been a godsend for me because part of my spiritual journey brought me to the Catholic Church. Wow, was that a surprise? Nobody saw that coming, least of all me. But it has been such a gift and has enhanced my spiritual growth and only added to the tools that I have in my little tool chest. So I love recovery. I love that I'm not drinking alcohol anymore. I love that I have to work with my OA sponsor, my AA sponsor, my Al-Anon sponsor, because what I'm doing in one doesn't necessarily work in another, because it's working on different parts of my journey, different parts of me, if you will, old coping systems. Or survival techniques that turned into character defects and were destructive. And I have to take care of this body now. So whatever goes in my mouth has to be, okay, is this nutritional? Is this fuel? Or is it junk? Or is it just I'm eating a little more? There's so many things to be aware of. And I'm so grateful just because my God is very dynamic. He keeps changing, and I have to keep up. So my diseases are right there. It's not like they disappear. So I have to keep working on my character defects and watch them lessen, not be as prominent, to have the gift of the pause, postpone action until serenity enters. And I love that because with the pause, it enables me to live life on life's terms, which includes living with a husband who is declining from Parkinson's disease. And I'm his caregiver. And I get to do that sober and abstinent with God and with you all. So thank you for letting me share and having the gift of being here today. Love you all. Bye-bye.